Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman. Remember, Avram Goldar and the name is Zekas Bab Metzia Daf Tzadidah. The end of the seventh parak of Sokras Apolim, and the beginning of the eighth parak of Shoel Sapara. The seventh parak has been generously sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Marcel and Tammy Scheinman, Leonishmas at Yisrael Isser Ben Sion Ben Yaakov Al Vashalom. May his neshama have an aliyah. And the eighth parak has been generously sponsored by Leonishmas, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Ben Rabbi Yamin Yosef Al Vashalom. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Masna Shomer Chinam Yos Patim Meshvua. A Shomer Chinam can stipulate to be exempt from making a Shvua that he was negligent. Similarly, a Shoel can stipulate to be exempt from paying, and a Shomer Sachar and Socher can stipulate to be exempt from paying and swearing. The Mishnah adds, Kol Masna Al Masha Kasim B'Torah, anyone who stipulates against what is written in the Torah, Tanah Batal, his stipulation is void. The Gemara adds that a Shomer stipulating to exempt himself is itself a condition against the Torah and should be void. It initially answers that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the David Shabamamun Tanal Kayim. Regarding a Tanai about a monetary matter, his stipulation is effective, as the Gemara quotes. However, the Gemara proves that the latter part of this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir and concludes that the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Although he holds even monetary stipulations against the Torah are void, the Shomer stipulation is valid, Dim Ikar Lo Shabbat Nafshe, because he didn't initially obligate himself to more than his terms. Pointing to the Mishnah concluded, Makosha Efshul Okaimo Basova, any condition which is possible for one to fulfill is a valid condition, implying that a condition which is impossible to fulfill is void, and the act takes effect without the condition's fulfillment. Rav says this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, but the Chachamim hold that such a condition is effective, as the Braisa teaches that if a husband says, Harzikitech Amanash Shetali Rakia, here's your get on condition you go up to the sky, or on condition that you descend to the depths, or on condition you swallow a reed 100 amas long, or on condition you cross the Yamagado by foot, the Tanakhama says the get does not take effect without fulfilling the condition. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says the get is valid and taught a rule. Koshi Eif Shalil Kaimu Basofa, any condition which is impossible for one to eventually fulfill, Vihisna Lab Mitchilaso, and he stipulated in the beginning, Eino El Kamafliga Vakasher, he's merely pushing her off, meaning teasing her, and the get is valid. Rav rules like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. And point number three, the eighth parak begins, Hashoel Sapara v'shol ba'alei ima. If one borrowed a cow and borrowed the services of the owner together with it, usachar ba'alei ima, or hired the owner together with it, or he first obtained the owner's services and then borrowed the cow, and the cow later died, he's pater because the Torah says, im ba'alav imo lo yishalem. If its owner was with him, he shall not pay. However, if he first borrowed the cow and afterward obtained the owner's services, he remains responsible for any mishap because the pasuk says, "Balav enimo shalem yishalem." If its owner is not with him, he shall pay. The first case of the Mishnah implies that he obtained the owner's services and the borrowed cow at the same moment. The Gemara wonders how this is possible since the cow is acquired with meshicha and the owner's services are acquired earlier with his mere verbal agreement. Two answers are given. Number one, the cow was located in the borrower's chatzer and is acquired for borrowing as soon as the owner verbally allows it. And number two, the borrower told the owner that he would not be borrowed until the meshicha of his cow. So once again, the three points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Patim Meshvua. A Shomer Chinam can stipulate to be exempt from making a shvua that he was not negligent. Similarly, a Shoel can stipulate to be exempt from paying, and a Shomer Sachar and Socher can stipulate to be exempt from paying and swearing. The Mishnah adds, Kol Masna Al Masha Kasim B'Torah, anyone who stipulates against what is written in the Torah, Tanah Batal, his stipulation is void. The Gemara adds that a Shomer stipulating to exempt himself is itself a condition against the Torah and should be void. It initially answers that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the David Shabamamun Tanah Kayim. Regarding a Tanai about a monetary matter, his stipulation is effective, as the Gemara quotes. However, the Gemara proves that the latter part of this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir and concludes that the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Although he holds even monetary stipulations against the Torah are void, the Shomer stipulation is valid, Dim Ikar Lo Shabbat Nafshe, because he didn't initially obligate himself to more than his terms. Pointing to the Mishnah concluded, Makosha Efshul Okaimo Basova, any condition which is possible for one to fulfill is a valid condition, implying that a condition which is impossible to fulfill is void, and the act takes effect without the condition's fulfillment. Rav says this is the opinion of Yehuda ben Tema, but the Chachamim hold that such a condition is effective, as the Braisa teaches that if a husband says, Harzikitech Amanash Shetali Rakia, here's your get on condition you go up to the sky, or on condition that you descend to the depths, or on condition you swallow a reed 100 amas long, or on condition you cross the Yamagado by foot, the Tanakhama says the get does not take effect without fulfilling the condition. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says the get is valid and taught a rule. Koshi Eif Shalil Kaimu Basofa, any condition which is impossible for one to eventually fulfill. He's no love mitchilaso, and he stipulated in the beginning, eino el kamafliga v'kasher. He's merely pushing her off, meaning teasing her, and the get is valid. Rav rules like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. And point number three, the eighth parak begins, Hashola sapar v'shol ba'alei ima. If one borrowed a cow and borrowed the services of the owner together with it, usachar ba'alei ima, or hired the owner together with it, or he first obtained the owner's services and then borrowed the cow, and the cow later died, he's pacha because the Torah says, im ba'alav imo lo yishalem. If its owner was with him, he shall not pay. However, if he first borrowed the cow and afterward obtained the owner's services, he remains responsible for any mishap because the pasuk says, "Balav enimo shalem yishalem." If its owner is not with him, he shall pay. The first case of the Mishnah implies that he obtained the owner's services and the borrowed cow at the same moment. The Gemara wonders how this is possible since the cow is acquired with mashicha and the owner's services are acquired earlier with his mere verbal agreement. Two answers are given. Number one, the cow was located in the borrower's chatzer and is acquired for borrowing as soon as the owner verbally allows it. And number two, the borrower told the owner that he would not be borrowed until the mashicha of his cow. All right, so now we go to Siman Dav Tzadi Dalet, and our standard Siman is a hunter, tzad, a hunter. So here goes. The hunter who borrowed a rifle on condition that if it got damaged, he would not have to pay, and then gave his wife a get on condition she swallowed the rifle, not realizing that since that was impossible to do, the get was still valid, was exempt when the hunting dog he borrowed died, since he had hired the dog's owner together with it. So once again, slow motion. The hunter, that must be Siman Dav Tzadi Dalet, tzad. The hunter who borrowed a rifle on condition that if it got damaged, he would not have to pay, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mas neshomer chinam yos patim shvuah. A shomer chinam can stipulate to be exempt from making a shvuah that he was not negligent. Similarly, a shoal can stipulate to be exempt from paying, and a shomer sakra and sokra can stipulate to be exempt from paying and swearing. The Mishnah adds, Kol mas hamasha kasa b'torah. Anyone who stipulates against what is written in the Torah, tenao batel, his stipulation is void. The Gemara said, a shomer stipulating to exempt himself is itself a condition against the Torah and should be void. Two answers are given, one being that even though monetary stipulations against the Torah are void, the Shomer did not initially obligate himself to more than his terms. So the hunter who borrowed a rifle on condition that if it got damaged, he would not have to pay, and then gave his wife a get on condition she swallowed the rifle, not realizing that since that was impossible to do, the get was still valid, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that if a husband says, here's your get on condition you go up to the sky or on condition that you swallow a reed 100 amos long, the Tanakhama says the get does not take effect without fulfilling the condition. Yehuda ben Tema says the get is valid and taught a rule, kol she'ef shalol kaima b'sofa, any condition which is impossible for one to eventually fulfill, v'hisna lav mitchilaso, and he stipulated in the beginning, eino el kamafliga b'kasher, he's merely pushing her off, meaning teasing her, and the get is valid. So the hunter who borrowed a rifle on condition that if it got damaged, he would not have to pay, and then gave his wife a get on condition she swallowed the rifle, not realizing that since that was impossible to do, the get was still valid, was exempt when the hunting dog he borrowed died, since he had hired the dog's owner together with it, which reminds us, the eighth parak begins, Hashoa sapar v'shal ba'alei ima. If one borrowed a cow and borrowed the services of the owner together with it, usachar ba'alei ima, or he hired the owner together with it, or he first obtained the owner's services and then borrowed the cow, and the cow later died, he's pater, because the Torah says, im ba'alav imo lo yishalem, if its owner was with him, he shall not pay. However, if he first borrowed the cow and afterward obtained the owner's services, he remains responsible for any mishap, because the pasuk says, ba'alav enimo shalem yishalem, if its owner is not with him, he shall pay. So once again, the hunter who borrowed a rifle on condition that if it got damaged, he would not have to pay, and then gave his wife a get on condition she swallowed the rifle, not realizing that since that was impossible to do, the get was still valid, was exempt when the hunting dog he borrowed died, since he had hired the dog's owner together with it. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazaran. Dav Tzadi, so the Siman Dav Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. The tzedakah collector tzedakah, that must be more on Dav Tzadi, that tzedakah collector, he used a muzzle shaped like a pushka to muzzle his ox when it threshed truma grain, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that if one muzzles animals which are threshing truma or maaser grain, he doesn't violate the muzzling prohibition. Still, because of maaser ayin, he must put food in a bag attached to its mouth. So the tzedakah collector, he used a muzzle shaped like a pushka to muzzle his ox when it threshed Truma Grain was horrified when someone took one of his muzzles and instructed a Nachri to muzzle his ox to thresh with it, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what's the halacha about a man saying to a Nachri, muzzle my cow and thresh with it? Do we say that Amir LaNachri Shvus, telling a Gentile to violate a prohibition for Jews, is rabbinically forbidden only with regard to Shabbos, Dezer Skila, which is a prohibition punished by stoning, whereas muzzling, which is Amir Lav, is not forbidden to instruct a Gentile to do, or is it equally prohibited to instruct a non-Jew to violate a law for Jews, such as muzzling? So the tzedakah collector used a muzzle shaped like a pushka to muzzle his ox when it threshed truma grain, was horrified when someone took one of his muzzles and instructed a nachri to muzzle his ox to thresh with it, and then heard another man muzzled his ox with his voice, shouting at it to prevent it from eating while threshing. Which reminds us, Amrayim discussed transgressions performed by voice, chasam b'kol, regarding one who muzzled by voice alone, meaning he shouted at it to prevent it from eating while threshing, minhiga b'kol, or he led the animal by voice while it was yoked together with another species, violating kalayim. Rabbi Yochanan said he's liable to malchus, and Rish Lakish said he's not. Rabbi Yochanan holds akimos piv havya maisa, bending his mouth to create sound is considered sufficient action to incur malchus. Rish Lakish holds kala lahavi maisa, making sounds is not considered sufficient action to incur malchus. Daf tzadi off. So the simmer daf tzadi off is an exit sign. So here goes. The man getting lashed and paying under the base an exit sign, that must be more daf tzadi off. Say yitziyah. The man getting lashed and paying under the base an exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa, chosim is a par v'dashba loke, one who muzzles a neighbor's cow and threshes with it receives lashes and pays the owner 4 kavs for a cow and 3 kavs for a donkey, which are the estimated amounts the animals would have eaten. The Gemara asks that the rule is ein loke mishalim, one does not receive lashes and also pay money for one violation. 3 answers are given. So the man getting lashed and paying under the base an exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign was shocked to see a chicken cross the road to thresh and eat, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, even if he was working with his hands but not his feet, or his feet but not his hands, or even with just his shoulder, this worker may eat from the produce. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says, he cannot eat unless he works with both his hands and his feet. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna asks, what's the halacha if one threshes with geese or chickens whose weight rests only on their feet, according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda? Does he hold the critical similarity to an ox's work is b'kol kochel b'inan? We require that it work with all its ability, which would be satisfied by fowl threshing by foot. Or does he literally require threshing with hands and feet, which is lacking in the case of fowl? This question is left unresolved. So the man getting lashed and paying under the base an exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign was shocked to see a chicken cross the road to thresh and eat, while its owner was eating from one grapevine after harvesting from a different grapevine. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, if he's working with figs, he may not eat grapes. If he's working with grapes, he may not eat figs. However, he may hold himself back from eating until he reaches superior fruit and eat his fill there. The Gemara asks, if he's working with one grapevine, may he eat from another grapevine? Daf Sadi Beis. So the similar Daf Sadi Beis, it's sub a turtle. So here goes. While one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm, turtle, that must be on Daf Sadi Beis. Sub. While one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm was eating lots of them worth more than his wage, while hungry turtles looked on, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ocho poa kishus afil bidinar. A worker may eat a cucumber even if worth a dinar, or eat a date even if worth a dinar, and is worth more than his entire wages. Eliezer Chisma says a worker cannot eat more than his pay. The Chamin permit it, but we teach him not to be a glutton, which will discourage people from hiring him. So, while one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm was eating lots of them worth more than his wage, while hungry turtles looked on, another worker told the owner to give the produce he's entitled to his wife and children, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Polo mishalohu ochel, does a worker eat his own food? Or mishal shamayim hu ochel, or does he eat heaven's food? That is, do we consider the worker's entitlement to food an addition to his wages, and they belong to him, or are they a charitable gift, similar to those given to the poor from one's field? A nafkamina emerges where the worker says, "Tnu ishtu uvanai, give the produce I'm entitled to eat to my wife and children. If his right is mishalo, he may give it to whomever he pleases. But if he eats only mishal shamayim, he cannot. Hashem granted the right for him to eat, but not for his wife and children to eat." So, while one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm was eating lots of them worth more than his wage, while hungry turtles looked on, another worker told the owner to give the produce he's entitled to his wife and children. As a third worker ending a shift walked away with the money he received in lieu of not eating, the produce, which reminds us it was taught in the Mishnah, Kotzetz Adam al Yidei Atzmo. A worker may stipulate for himself to receive money instead of his right to eat produce. He may do the same for his adult children, his wife, or his adult slaves when they work for others, mifnei sheyesh behen das, because they have intelligence and agree to waive their right to the produce. However, one cannot stipulate for his minor children, nor for his minor slaves, because they lack intelligence to waive their right to produce. Daf Tzadi Gimel, so the similar Daf Tzadi Gimel is a train chugging along. So here goes. Daf Tzadi Gimel, so the similar Daf Tzadi Gimel is a train chugging along. So here goes. The train conductor, that must be on Daf Tzadi Gimel, train chugging along. The train conductor who dropped off Shomrei Peros at the field, reminding them they were not allowed to eat while guarding, since Meshamer Lav Ko Osam Maisadami, which reminds us, the Mor brings a Malchokas, whether Meshamer Ko Osam Maisadami, whether a Shomer of gardens and orchards, is considered as if he's working and therefore entitled to eat from the produce or not. So the train conductor who dropped off Shomrei Peros at the field, reminding them that they were not allowed to eat while guarding, since Meshamer Lav Ko Osam Maisadami, noticed that a Socher at the station wasn't sure whether to board the Shomer Chinam section or the Shomer Sachar section, which reminds us, we learn about the various responsibilities of the Dalad Shomrim and have a Malchokas whether a Socher has the same dinim as a Shomer Sachar or Shomer Chinam. So the train conductor dropped off Shomrei Peros at the field, reminding them they were not allowed to eat while guarding, since Meshamer Lavka Osam Maisadami noticed that a Socher at the station wasn't sure whether to board the Shomer Chinam section or the Shomer Sachar section, and blew his whistle to wake up the sleeping Shomer whose sheep he was watching was standing on the train tracks, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a shepherd was once herding animals along the Papa River and one slipped and drowned. Rabbah exempted him, saying, Mahavi Lemavit, what should he have done to avoid this? He guarded them as people normally guard them, so the loss is considered an onus. Rabbah would also exempt a shepherd who goes into town when people normally do, leaving his animals alone outside, and even a shepherd who naps when people normally do. Rav Chisda and Rabbah Bar Avuna disagree with Rabbah because the owner can say, this is the reason I gave you pay, so you should guard for me a better shmira and not follow common practice. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we have Malchokas whether a worker can eat more than his wages? That's on daf Tzadi Beis. Good. Number two, which daf do we want a Shomer can stipulate to reduce his liability? That's on daf Tzadi Dalet. Good. Number three, which daf do we discuss whether one is transgressing muzzling his ox if the ox is threshing Truma or Meiser? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. Number four, which daf have a question whether the worker is eating his own food and therefore he can decide to give the produce to his wife, or the produce is shal shamayim and he cannot? That's on daf Tzadi Beis. Good. Number five, which daf do you malchus whether a shomer is chayev if the animal he's watching gets damaged while he's napping? That's on daf Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number six, which daf do you learn if one gives a get with a condition at the beginning that's impossible to fulfill, such as swallowing a long reed, the get is valid? That's on daf Tzadi Dalet. Good. Number seven, which daf do we machos whether a worker must work with his hands and feet to eat the produce, and we have a question about a chicken that threshes? That's on daf Tzadi Aleph. Good. Number eight, which daf do we learn about the exemption of Ba'alav Imo, which must begin before or together with the act of borrowing? That's on daf Tzadi Dalet. Good. Number nine, which daf do we have a machokas of Meshamer Kosa Maisadami, whether a guard should be able to eat from the produce like a worker? That's on daf Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number 10, which daf do we discuss what the halacha is regarding a worker toasting produce in a fire and then eating it? That's on daf Peites. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.